the important one, and she invited these African pastors to come and be a part of that. Well, during the break, there was a long break. You know, you have these long meetings that last all day, and then you have a break for a couple hours maybe. But these African pastors decided they wanted to go shopping. And being a small or moderate-sized town, the Maokai was kind of concerned about they may get lost, so she gave them her phone number to call her in case they got lost. Well, it had been about an hour, and she gets a call from one of the African pastors and says, "I'm lost." And she says, "Lay your phone down, go to the corner of the street, look at the sign, and you'll be two streets. Give me both of those street names, and I'll come and get you." He lays the phone down, he goes back, and he comes back in a few minutes. He says, "I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk." So, sometimes, you know, we get our directions mixed up, or our signs and so forth, but sometimes that is how life can feel with us, doesn't it? We walk or we don't walk. We're lost at the corner of the walk and don't walk. So, in times of trials and headache, many people ask, if God is loving, why does he allow people to suffer? Why does God allow people to go through trials? And some people believe we struggle because a father is not involved in the world or in our lives. Others may say that we are victims of fate and chance. However, the only accurate answer to this question can be found in the Word of God. And we read it just here. You know, rejoice. Don't think it strange, as Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 4. Don't think it strange if you go through fiery trials. Count it a joy. Because what they are saying, that the testing in our life is to build our faith, strengthen us. And the crown is given to those who persevere. I think that's why Paul says, you know, if that's the way it's going to be, then I find myself content no matter what circumstance I'm in. Because he knows that God's in control, he'll see us through it, and therefore the trials are evident in our life. They're going to happen. So, all trials are evidence that God is working in our lives. They can come from several sources, and one of those sources is our trials can come because of ourselves. You ever thought about that? Trials can come because of ourselves. Many times we make decisions that are not wise or healthy. Anything not in keeping with God's plan or purpose in our lives is guaranteed to bring us trouble. And then we say, "Why'd you allow this to happen to me, Lord?" And it's like the Lord said, "Well, look at yourself." Yeah, look what the choice that you made or decision that you made. Did you check with me first? Did you think it through? And if we think and pray and ask God first before we did anything, then our choices will align with what God wants us to do. And so therefore they come from ourselves sometimes. Sometimes they can come from other people. Sometimes others can be responsible for our trials. Peter warns us that we shouldn't be surprised, as I said a while ago in 1 Peter 4:2. Another way that our trials come is from a fallen world. Because sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, disobedience. So we've got to deal with those kind of circumstances in our life. See, it wasn't because of the apple or the fruit on the tree that Adam failed. It was because of a tomato on the ground. That's what we are sometimes, right? We're not always a nice fruit. We're rotten to the core sometimes. And we bring trials upon ourselves. So, we live in a world that's full of sin, and we as Christians, if we do not align ourselves with the Word of God and our values and our convictions that should be in ground in our hearts, then sometimes we make bad choices, bad decisions. And the world offers all kinds of choices for us. We just got to make sure it aligns up with what God's purpose for our life is about, and then make the choice from that. And then another trial that comes our way is because of Satan. Many people want to believe that the devil isn't real, but he is, isn't he? The Bible says he is. But he is present throughout the Word of God. You know, you can read through the Word, and he's present here. The Bible lets us know that. See, he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Placed betrayal in Judas's Iscariot's heart. And continues to cause trouble in our lives as well and in the world. Always trying to cause conflicts and dissensions in people's heart. So if he can plant it in their mind and then plant it in their heart, then it happens. And therefore, we as Christians, we need to guard ourselves. Or as Paul would tell Timothy, guard your heart. Guard your testimony. Guard everything within you. Go back to your roots. Go to the back to the basics of your faith and foundation of your heritage. Ensuring that what God has planted in your heart from the very beginning, that it will be there at the right time and the right situation, that you might make a good and decision about your life. Now, when we look at what the Scripture says in Matthew chapter 4, it talks about how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. You see, Jesus had to make some preparation. And he made sure that his preparation at the very beginning of his ministry, when he entered the water with John the Baptist and was baptized, you see, Jesus, the Heavenly Father was preparing Jesus for some perseverance, endurance in his life that he would be facing, just like you and I. See, when we walk in the waters of baptism and we come up, you see, it's like what Jesus, Heavenly Father said about Jesus. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. You see, when we come out of the waters of baptism, and if you can go back and remember when you were baptized and how you felt at that moment, you rejoiced, your sins had been forgiven, and you were washed in the waters of baptism like Jesus. You were buried in the likeness of Jesus' death, but raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in the newness of life. And you see, that's when life began for the Christian. We're saved and our sins are washed away. You see, at that moment, Vince Hamner said, if it would be best for a person, and you know, I had to think about that when I read this in a book it was in. He said, it would be better that when a person gets saved and they get baptized, they just go ahead and go home to be with the Lord then. They don't have to worry about sin anymore. But you see, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. That means that when we are to walk in the newness of life, realizing that trials are going to come, but our Heavenly Father is going to be with us through that. And therefore, if we plant our feet on solid ground and we begin to read the Word and study the Word and reflect upon the graces and the mercies of God, then our trials are not going to affect us unless we allow Satan, who is the father of lies, to trick us up and defeat us with doubt and things like that in our life. So therefore, Satan is one that places trials in our life, if we allow him. Now, there was a father of a small boy. Occasionally, he snuck into the neighbor's orchard, and he would pick the finest fruit. And it happened to be his little boy was with him one day. And the man, he stopped, he looked around to make sure there wasn't anybody looking. Yeah, he was a smart boy. And the little boy stood there and watched his dad. His dad walked on in, he started picking the fruit and eating and so forth. He said, Dad, you forgot to look up. And he said, what are you talking about, son? He says, well, you worried about everybody else around here looking at you, but you forgot about the Heavenly Father. He may be looking too. And that is true. You know, that's one thing about the Heavenly Father. He's always looking. You know, he's always available. He don't go on vacation, didn't sleep. You know, he's awake. His presence is 24/7. So you see, when we think about the things that come in our lives that tempt us and the choices that we make, you know, at that given moment, we say, Heavenly Father, you know, here I am. Like Jesus said, I don't make any decision or do anything on my own initiative except what the Father tells me to do. You know what? Would we be better in our lives, in trials, decisions, or whatever we do, if we would think just like Jesus did, always did? If we would make that statement to ourselves or to anyone else, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to initiate anything unless I ask the Father to get His approval. You know, a lot of times we don't like to ask to get approval. You know, growing up, we don't like to ask our parents for approval to do anything. You know why? Because we're always afraid they would say what? No. And it wasn't to discourage us or be mean or bad. It was because we think before we act, most of the time as adults. And therefore, we have already been down that road, and we want to pass on what the experience that we had to our young people, our children, so that they won't make the same mistakes as we did. But does that always happen? No, not always, does it? But it is wise if we learn young, because it will keep us out of a whole lot of trouble. A whole lot of trouble. Now, but when temptation besets you and me, you know, we're inclined to yield because no one else seems to be around or remember. But you always got to remember, the Master is always in. See, God sometimes trials are sent by Him. Do you know that? Are tested? and some are allowed by Him. And when we make choices that are not pleasing to our Father, we should expect a trial. However, He may also send them when we are being obedient to give us wisdom and discernment. In verse 5, it says, if we lack wisdom, ask the Father. And this is why we should count it a joy. Verse 2, I want to refer to that verse. Verse 2, count it a joy, because trials are evident that God is working in our lives. And when you think about a trial, it will test and refine your faith. Warren Wiersbe made this observation that trials of life are not all alike, and they're not. Every one of them are different, even in our own personal lives, and even in your in individual lives, they are different. And he says they are like multicolored yarn that the weaver uses to make beautiful rug, or it's like our ladies who knit the prayer shawls with beautiful, beautiful colors. See, God arranges and mixes the colors and experiences of life. See, that's the final product, which is the beautiful thing, and it brings glory to His life, brings glory to God. So what are the God's purpose for trials? With everyone, He is testing our faith and proving it to be genuine. It's like a prospector who is looking for gold. And when he finds a small piece or something, he brings it to the assayer to get it evaluated. And it might not be worth a whole lot, but to us it's very precious because we found it. And see, that's how it is with our life. Our life is very precious in the sight of God. And then when the testing comes in our life and it is evaluated, see, God gives His approval to our life if we endure the testing. You see, we're tested by fire, but we are refined by the grace of God for great, great blessings. And when we go through our trials and our testing and circumstances like that, then you see it brings glory, honor and glory to our Father. So God's approval of our faith is precious because it assures us that our faith is genuine. See, trials work for the believer because God proves our faith when we trust Him through our trials. Another one is our testing our devotion to Christ and gauging our obedience produces Christ-like character in our lives. So, in order to have the proper response to our challenges, we must always remember, trials will prove to be good if we respond in faith. They allow us to display perseverance under pressure. How do we spell maturity? According to Scripture says, patience, endurance, the ability to keep going when it is tough. We just keep going. You know, kids on a long trip to Wonderland, what do they normally say? If they're in their car and we're traveling, and there's a commercial on TV of this sort, are we there yet? How long? How much longer do we have? And to immature is to misunderstand the journey. Say, immature people are often impatient. They want the blessing of the maturity without walking the road of growth. And the Bible says the only way that God can develop patience and character in our lives is through trials. Now, not reading, not prayers or sermons, but it's when we go through trials, when we trust God and obey Him, the result is patience and character in our lives. See, this is how we can face trials without with positive attitude. And that's what God wants, a positive attitude on our part. Because if we have a positive attitude through our trials with Him, you see, He knows and understands that we are depending upon Him and not ourselves. So we know that trials will do in us and for us, and that the end result will bring glory to God. So, with that, trials help us measure our progress. So God's ultimate priority is our maturity, our growth, to show where we were and where we can come and where we can end up. So when we think about what God is doing in our lives, we can think about 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide a way of escape, also that you may be able to endure it." You see, what this passage of Scripture is saying here, struggles and hurts are unavoidable while we are on earth, but we can choose how we respond to them. We can react negatively, or we can trust the Lord and see how His hand at work in our lives is for the good. And as believers, we can always have the Father to see us through all of our hardships. It's like climbing out of a hole, climbing out onto the surface, trying to realize if we're in a deep hole, and how do you get up back to zero ground? It's like the man that had this donkey that fell into this deep well. And he struggled with all his might to try to get this donkey out of the hole. And so he decided, looking down at the donkey, "Well, you're old, and this well needs to be filled up anyway." So he calls all of his neighbors to come and help him out with this situation. So as they began to shovel the dirt in this hole to cover up this mule, which is old and didn't figure it had much life left in him. Of course, the mule was crying out for help. And, you know, any animal, any person would cry out for help. But they shoveled, and the dirt was hit on the donkey's back, and then all of a sudden the donkey realized, you know, there may be a way out of this. So he would shake, and the dirt would fall off. He'd take a step. They'd keep shoveling. Land on his back, he would shake, and the dirt would fall off. And the farmer looked down and realized and see what was going on. But he said, "Well, keep shoveling, keep shoveling." So eventually, as they shoveled and the dirt hit the donkey's back and it fell off, guess what? Eventually, that mule and that donkey stepped out on the ground and trotted off. You see, that's what we can do in our lives. You know, no matter how deep down in distress, in the trials and circumstances of our lives, and we have them, we face them each day. They may be on the job, they may be in our lives, in some area or circumstances in which we see them or can imagine them. But we can, you know, as they pile up on us, we can shake it off, we can step up until we get on the level of where God wants us, so we can walk on in our faith. And that's what's called perseverance, endurance, understanding that, you know, God, the Bible says that He will grant us a way of escape of temptation when it comes upon our lives. What does that mean? Finding a way of escape is that we're looking for a way to avoid temptation, to avoid those things in our lives that will or can drag us down. So when we allow God to be the center of our life and keep our focus on Him, you see, we can keep climbing to higher depths in our relationship with Him in our spiritual life. See, that's what He wants us to keep doing, is to keep climbing, climbing, and climbing, and never giving up, never giving in to the whims of this world, to Satan, to others who might try to discourage us or try to lead us the wrong way. Yesterday, I attended a training for, it's a faith training for congregations, for people to implement within the church. And it has to do with drugs and alcohol and all of those things in life. And it's trying to find ways to, as a prevention. So we as, we have a lot of organizations out in our society that is working for prevention for alcohol and drugs and all of those things that can drag our families or our individuals down and defeat their life and destroy them eventually. So why not we as a church provide prevention things in our lives, as the scripture tells us, to abstain from any appearance of evil. And therefore, we are doing our ultimate responsibility of warning and telling people about the things in the world that will drag them down. And I think it's a wonderful thing when organizations have things like that. And the churches themselves ought to be the one in leading programs and things like that to help people understand there is a way out, that we can keep stepping up to higher planes of spiritual growth in our lives and help people to understand that God always wants the best for us if we will only follow Him and live our convictions according to what we know is true. See, the Bible gives us the truth about trials. They're coming, the old saying is, if you're having a bad day, get ready for more. But if we understand that God is going to help us no matter what kind of situation we're in, whatever we face, if we trust Him with our life, the circumstances will not weigh us down. They can only lift us up because we persevere as Christians, as individuals, as we live for Him and serve Him with our life. When we pray. Our Father and God, we thank You for the understanding that we have, that You have given us. And we thank You that writers like James identify themselves at the very beginning, and they let us know who they're writing to and the purpose. And we thank You that You have given us this scripture today about trials and temptations and the persecutions of sharing the gospel in this world or any other country, that, Lord, we are to persevere, that we are to endure, and we are excited knowing that there is a crown for those who endure, that You will provide that for us one of these days because we have that desire and that love for You. So this morning we pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know You personally as their Savior, that Your Word, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to them, giving them what they need to know and understand about salvation. And Lord, we thank You this morning that as we reflect upon Your goodness and Your mercy, Lord, that You love us so much that You did go to the cross and die for our sins. and that you went through trials, that you suffered for our faults and our sins. And therefore, you went to the grave, but you was raised. And now you're on the at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. And when we don't know what to pray, you intercede for us and give us understanding. Your Spirit testifies to our spirit what we need to do. So this morning, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us here may examine our lives and look deep to where we are. Say, Lord, you know, I just open up my life to you. You have full access to my heart. Reveal to me or surface anything that doesn't belong so that I can make it right. Lord, may that be our prayer. May that be our desire this morning to please you with everything within our lives. We praise you. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we're going to sing hymn number 102, There Is Something About That Name. Hymn number